one of the most practical passages that you could come across, Galatians chapter 6. And you can see why it would be practical, because Paul has just pointed out the fact that the church there in Galatia has been overtaken by a fault. It's a doctrine, a false doctrine, that many of them have believed that they're going to have to keep the law and observe the requirements of the Jewish law and forfeit their liberty they have in Christ. And so when we come to chapter 6, he's addressing what to do about those folks that have been overtaken by that fault. Galatians chapter 6, I want to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm just going to read the first four verses and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we can assemble freely and open the Word of God, and we can not just open it, but that we can hear from the Holy Spirit. God, tonight I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Help us to see the joy of this passage that applies to us. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he has applied this himself in the life of Peter and others. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to understand our place in restoring others. And God, just bless this next few moments, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll show you three things in these verses. The first, in fact, this is just a little outline here. We have a candidate, we have a command, and we have some conditions. A candidate, a command, and some conditions. The candidate we see in verse 1. I use that word candidate. This is the person that needs to be restored. He says the candidate is a man who's overtaken in a fault. The word fault means that they have failed, or they have believed some error, or perhaps they've made a mistake of some sort. In this particular case, the fault of believing false doctrine in Galatia. But there are other things that can overtake us. And you might ask yourself, what are the faults that overtake Christians that cause them to fall away or to not be useful to the Lord or not serve the Lord? Unfaithfulness, pride, sin of all sorts will cause that. Things like a lack of faith or bitterness. And undoubtedly, if you and I were to think back about the people that we've known in the churches we've attended over the years, we can think of some people that were overtaken. They were captured. They were knocked out of service by some kind of a fault. And those are the candidates for this restoration. I'd use the example of Peter. I was trying to think of somebody in the Bible that just fits this so well, and Peter's definitely the man. I won't have you turn there for the sake of time. But Peter, of all things, after having walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, after having seen him raise the dead and calm the sea, and after knowing all the power, even saw the Lord Jesus Christ pick up the servant's ear and put it back on his head and heal him, after all the things Peter had seen, when he came to that that place where they were mocking and falsely accusing Christ, that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times out of fear. Fear for his own welfare. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just about as serious as it gets. And it wasn't that he had never believed, and it wasn't that he was. I mean, Peter was the fellow that always would speak out, and he was the one that seemed to always be in the front. But the Lord had told him that he was going to succumb to his pride, and he did. He failed this test, if you will, this temptation, because of self-reliance and pride. And then, if you could say it this way to add insult to injury, what did he do after that? He went fishing again. After the resurrection was reported, he went back up to the Galilee and he said, I go a fishing. And there's a great message there. When he went fishing, a bunch of other folks said, fine, we'll go with you. And so they all went fishing. Sometimes we think our sin won't affect other people, but it does. And so he failed and he quit. And, you know, the Lord could have just let him go. The Lord could have just let him go and use somebody else. But that's not the way God works. Amen? That's not the way the Lord works. It's not the way he works in our life. It's not the way we should work in other people's lives. Sadly, I got to say, early in my ministry, it seemed to me like there was a culture in the churches that I was associated with for lack of a better word, discarding people, just taking somebody and throwing them away. They had failed somehow, and so they were out. Now, I'll say this plainly, and if you've been around very long, you'll agree with me, it is not easy to restore somebody. But that doesn't mean we don't try. And I know for a fact there are some people that can be restored. The Lord Jesus Christ restored Peter, didn't he? Now, had Peter offended the Lord? Of course he had. Had Peter offended man? Yes, of course he had. Had he set a bad example and caused a lot of trouble? Sure he had. But that's not, casting people aside is not the way God works. And that's a very important thing to remember. So after all this, the Lord restored Peter, and aren't you glad he did? It's not that God couldn't have used somebody else, but read what Peter did in the book of Acts. Now think about it like this, somebody that needs to be restored. And look around tonight. Hey, folks, there's some folks that need to be restored. There's some folks. What in the world was that? I'm sorry? Huh. You want to check on that, Greg? Well, between electrical circuits and my curiosity is killing me. I got to look out the door here. Fireworks. I don't know. It's Wednesday. Who would have thought? Amen? It's fireworks. After our little electrical snafu, you don't trust anything anymore. Amen? Fireworks, Mr. Leader. Sorry. All right, well, where was I? Aren't you glad this, the Lord restored Peter? Look at the things he did in the book of Acts. And what I was about to say is this. I wonder if some of the people that we need to reach out and try to restore couldn't do some great things for God if we would restore them. Amen? And again, I say we. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. But the command is given to us to spiritually to approach those folks. So there is that candidate for restoration. It's anybody. The candidate was once in good stead with God. He was right with God. Then he fell. This is not the same as seeing somebody get saved. It's not the same as seeing somebody that's never been right with God. This is somebody that was in a right place and they've fallen. They're a candidate for restoration. Secondly, after the candidate, there is the command. Chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, restore. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. And I won't talk about the rest. That's going to be my third point. But we have a command, don't we? I used to have a pastor in Utah, a friend of mine, and he had an old car. And, I mean, it was an old car. One of the men in our church had bought it for him, and it was a 1950-some-odd Chrysler, and this was in the 1990s. And I got to admit to myself, I thought, you know, if it was me, I just wouldn't really want to go to some trouble. But he really enjoyed that old car, and he restored it and worked on it. And I don't know what happened to it. Last time I talked to him, I don't know if he still has it or not. But he made a decision to restore. In this case, folks, it's not our decision. It's God's decision. Amen? It's a command. We are to restore. And that maybe that's Veterans Day. They've got me curious now. We return them to their proper condition. Let me just tell you some reasons for that. Number one, folks have value. Amen? The people that aren't here tonight, that could be here, that need to be brought back, they have value. They have, Christ died for them. You know, in my garage tonight, I was going through about an hour or two ago, and I had taken some things and put them in my trunk, And for whatever reason, I put them in a pizza box. And it was not a new pizza box. It was a used pizza box. And you know how those things look. And so I'd been careful not to put the important things on the greasy spots. But it was time to clean that mess up. And so I went through the stack. I had a nice meter in there. And I thought, I want to keep that. And I put that in a good place. But there were some parts in there. And I'm just a pack rat. Anybody here a pack rat? Just don't like to throw stuff away? You know, maybe you can use that one-inch piece of PVC sometime in the future. Amen? Right, Greg? You know? You can buy 10 feet of this stuff for a dollar, but I might need that 1 inch. So I hang on to stuff. I see value in little things like that. Isn't it funny how we can see value in little things like that, but not see value in fellow believers? Folks, God sees value in people. Amen? You don't throw valuable things away. You restore them. Now, that's not the only reason you restore, but there's also the matter of loving folks. You know my story. I have my youngest son is a mess, and I don't even like to talk about this because it's such a painful thing, but he's my son. He's my son, amen? Even if I was tempted to set him aside, I love him. I can't do that. He's my son. And folks, we ought to love one another. We ought to love people. I don't understand. You know, if you love somebody, you know, you're not going to discard them. You're going to try to restore them. I don't understand why people wouldn't see that, because people seem to discard folks. I know this. You don't throw away things that you love. And then the third reason, they have value. They ought to be loved. And then God can still use people. I was going through that pizza box tonight thinking, can I use this? Can I use this? Can I use this? And maybe I might possibly be able to use this. And so in that sense, I think I'm going to save it. I have coffee cans full of hardware, 20 years old, and just in case I can use it. But folks, when it comes to you and I and to the other folks in our church, can God use them? Amen. They're useful to Him, to serve Him, to bring glory to Him. They need to be restored. And then once again, just in case I didn't make it clear enough, it's not just because they have value, not just because we love them, not just because they can glorify God and be used by Him, but it's just a command. God says, do it. So we restore folks. Amen? That's the command. How? Well, that's tough. Some clues here, some thoughts I have, and then you can add to this as you see fit, but I think this will be useful to you. Number one, he mentions very quickly in verse 1, he says, ye which are spiritual. Just real plainly, if the Spirit of God doesn't get involved, nothing's going to happen. I've seen people that were on the right track and then they fell into some false doctrine. I never ever saw them come back. But I have seen some people that were not where they ought to be come back and serve God. I may have told you this story, be brief about it, but there was a family with us in Utah. And they were so selfish, and they would never come to church, and they were all about themselves. And the reason I remember them real well is because this fellow was about 6'6". He was huge, and he was a basketball player type fellow. And they left our church in Utah and moved to Oklahoma or somewhere in the middle of the country. And I thought to myself, you know, well, we're not missing too much. They didn't do a whole lot when they were here. They hardly ever came to church. And the fellow wound up being a missionary. Somebody restored him, amen? It can be done. And we're not the ones that get to say, let's give up. God says we're to try to restore them. If we fail, then that's one thing, but at least we obeyed the command. So we don't assume that we know. Spiritually speaking, if God gets involved, things can happen. It is a spiritual battle. Now, let's think about Peter just for a minute. And just as a kind of a setting the tone, and I almost ought to turn there, but when the Lord Jesus Christ approached Peter, remember the time where he says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. That was restoration is what was happening there. And I'm just going to name some things that I know help to restore people. Now, again, there are times when folks need to be told what you're doing is wrong. We do not restore folks by compromise. Amen. Sometimes when somebody leaves and they need to make things right, they need to make things right, and you can't compromise and restore somebody. But there is this thing called encouragement. You know, what encourages you? When you're not able to come to church and somebody says, calls you and says, hey, we miss you, we're praying for you, that encourages you, doesn't it? When people that are not here tonight, that need to be here tonight and that need to be here Sunday and they're not here, we don't have to call them and chew them out. We can just call them and say, hey, I missed you, and encourage them. And pray before you do that the Holy Spirit would use that. Encouragement is a huge restorer, is it not? When my wife and I were in Salt Lake City, she had gone to the hospital, and it was a horrible situation, financially horrible, medically horrible. And there was this old fellow named Bob Noss, 85 years old. He had had a heart attack. His heart was functioning at 15%, had 1/6 of his heart capacity left. And this old fella, he was big. He was bigger than you, Greg. And he came into the hospital, and he just wanted to be a blessing to us and encourage us. Said, I'm praying for you, wanted to come see you. That was a huge help. Now, I don't know if restoration was needed right about then, but I know this, encouragement helps restore folks, amen? Be an encouragement to somebody. It's a command. Call somebody up and say, hey, we missed you. We're praying for you. Hope you can be here on Sunday. Hope you can come out next week for the missions conference. Peter, I think undoubtedly the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say to him, Peter, there's no hope for you. Peter, you made too big of a mistake. There's just no hope for you. You've demonstrated how weak you can be. That's not the way the Lord worked with him. He didn't even point the fault out. Peter knew what he had done. The Lord said, Peter, there's something you can do for me. You can feed my sheep. That's encouraging to know, even though he had failed, he can still do something for God. Amen? That's encouragement. We do not restore people by discouraging them. And then we need to give them another chance. And that's just what Jesus did with Peter. And I don't need to beat a dead horse, but you get the idea. When you give somebody another chance, what you do is you say, there's still hope for you. There's still something you can do for God. It's not too late. The devil's trying to get people out of God's service. Amen? If we would go to them and say, don't quit. We don't want to discard you. Give folks another chance. Amen. Say, Pastor, somebody let me down. Give them another chance. That's hard sometimes, but that's what God tells us to do. We certainly need to identify the error sometimes, but we need to give folks a chance to make things right. And folks, we need to forgive people. When someone offends us, what does the Bible say? To forgive them, what was it, 70 times 7, if they're willing to ask for it? And then I had a fellow ask me in a Sunday school class one time, do we forgive even if they don't ask? And let me remind you that in the Lord's Prayer, what we say is, well, the Lord himself on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's unilateral forgiveness. It wasn't asked for. And in the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us as we forgive those who've trespassed against us, even if they haven't asked for forgiveness. If you are going to restore somebody, you need to be willing to forgive them. We don't restore folks by compromise. We don't restore folks by forsaking them. We don't restore folks by treating them like an enemy or going after them or trying to get even with them for what they did. That's not going to restore anybody. We restore folks with spiritual means. And I'd remind you of the fruit of the Spirit, love. We should love folks. And then there's peace. We should be at peace with folks. And then there's long suffering. We should allow folks room to grow and to get right. And gentleness. So we should have that towards folks as well. Several of those apply in this case. Okay, I got to finish up. Number three. First of all, there was the candidate. Anybody that's overtaken in default. Then there's the command. We are to restore them. Now there are the conditions. And I've already mentioned the first one quite a lot about being spiritual. Let's look at some of the others. He says, restore such an one in verse 1 in the spirit of meekness. And here's what I think. Sometimes when people fail, we tend to say to ourselves, I'm better than them. I know you probably don't come out and just blatantly do that, but you got to be careful. You say to yourself, well, I showed up, they didn't. Well, I served, they didn't. I gave, I did whatever, and they didn't. And we tend to start putting ourselves above them. But that's exactly what God says not to do. He says, restore them in a spirit of meekness. One of the things about meekness, and there's a lot of good definitions for this, is to have a soft temper. but to recognize we're no better than they are. We're saved by grace just like they are. Well, by the way, there have been times when we needed to be restored, perhaps. You say, I've never been that way, Pastor. Praise the Lord, most of us have. There are times when we need to be restored. There are times when we need somebody to intervene there and help us out. You're not any better than them just because they failed. There is a vulnerability here. He says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know why Peter, one of the reasons Peter failed is because he was proud. And he said, Lord, I'd never do that. Have you ever said that? Well, when I've learned over the years, I'm learning more now. I don't like it, but it's a fact of life. Unless God does it, it won't get done. And that includes in my life. I can determine till the cows come home that I'm going to do thus and so. Unless God's in it, it won't get done. If you say to yourself, like Peter did, because of me, I'm going to succeed. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do whatever. Just remember this. When you leave God out of it, you just lost. And we need to remember, considering ourselves, we could also be tempted. There may be a day, probably will be a day, when we need to be restored in some fashion. Let's keep going. In verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens. Don't miss the list here. Number 1, spiritual methods. These are the conditions. Number 2, meekness. Number 3, vulnerability, considering ourselves. Number 4, bearing their burdens. That's not technically difficult to understand at all. It simply means carry the load. Watch this. Okay. So there's a mother, and she's in a church service, and she has this child that can run just a little way short of the speed of light. And he zooms across the auditorium, and he zooms back, and she's got the other one in her arms. And somebody's standing in the back saying, I wish that woman would help, would control her kids. I wish that woman would control her kids. You know what you can do? Help her control her kids. Amen? Right? I mean, you know, unless she stops you. Somebody says, you know, I'm doing the best I can. Maybe they don't say it. Maybe they just are. And we can see we could make the difference. We should help bear their burden. Amen? Take the things that, the resources we have, the strength we have, the knowledge we have, and help other folks. I told you this story before. I probably remember it, but I was selling a house one time and didn't want to have to do some repairs, and the real estate agent said, I'll do them. And he wasn't even going to get paid for it. And they were little trivial repairs. And when he said that, I thought to myself, you know, I could do those repairs. He doesn't have to come over here and do them. And I went ahead and made the repairs. But if I hadn't have been able to, and he'd have come over and done it, and I think he would have, then he'd have still got the sale. And it wouldn't have cost him $50 to do all those repairs. What if you and I were to pitch in with somebody else in their hour of need, meet that need, instead of complaining about them not being what they ought to be, we make up the difference, and then because of that, they do great things for God. That's worth it, isn't it? Amen? Am I making this clear? We ought to bear one another's burdens. If somebody else has a burden, then we help carry the load. Be there for them. Meet some needs. Suffer if needs be. That's the example of what Christ did for us, is it not? When it came to salvation and when it comes to my daily walk, the Lord Jesus Christ bears my burdens. He met my needs, and he didn't have to. He did it because he loved me. And when you love folks, it's easier to do that, by the way. And then the last condition, and let me just read the verse and I'll be done. He says in verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You say, Pastor, how do you apply that? Well, here's a couple of thoughts. Number 1, don't try to be something. Just give God the glory. You know, you and I, sometimes we want to be noticed or whatever. I like what John said. He said about the Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase, I must decrease. We really want folks to see Christ in us, not see us at all. If we start to think we're something, we got a problem. That's a pride issue there. And then here's another thing. If you think about it, he says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I wonder how many people in Galatia were saying, I didn't make that mistake. Those people are the ones that messed up. I'm special. I'm better. I'm different. That's not the approach we ought to take. I can explain this without getting personal about it. I think you can see it. If I love somebody and they have an error of some sort, it doesn't matter who I am. I care for them, right? And so what I do is, if I love somebody and they fail, or if they fall, or if they stumble, or if they make a mistake and it causes them to suffer, it doesn't matter who I am. What I'm concerned about is, how can I help them? How can I restore them? How can I lift them back up? How can I put them back to where they need to be? And I'm not even the factor there, except I want to help. If we're looking at ourselves and what we are and what people think about us, we're missing what's important. We need to be helping those folks out. So there's this sense of not being somebody, but of doing what you need to. We're nothing. God's everything. I wonder how many believers are out of church, out of the ministry, or not serving God simply because nobody sought to restore them. I wonder how many Christians began to slip a little and miss church a couple of weeks, and nobody called them. Or they got discouraged and nobody reached out to them. Or they were suffering, and maybe they were suffering because of a fault of their own, and instead of folks trying to come and lift them back up, folks pointed the finger at them and condemned them and walked away and discarded them. I wonder how many Christians are out of God's service because of those kind of things. I know pastors, you know pastors, that are out of the ministry partly because people cast them aside and walked away from them. Ought not to be, amen? We're commanded to restore folks. That's the role God gave us here in Galatians chapter 6. So let's make this really practical. Thinking about Peter one last time. After a grievous failure, after offending Christ, after doing just about the worst thing you can do, the Lord Jesus Christ restored him. And so here's my question for all of us tonight, myself included. Who do we know that we need to restore? Somebody that we need to restore, that we need to spiritually, and I won't go through the list again, but at least make the effort. And again, if you just let folks know, I care about you, don't give up, I'm praying for you, that goes a long way, amen? Might make a big difference. When we were at this men's conference, Brother Mark went, and I'm so glad Brother Dahlman went, and Brother Mendez and I, it was terrific. The fellow preached the message on Friday night about discouragement. And what he basically did was, he talked about when the people of Israel came into the promised land, the two tribes that said, you know what, we're really happy on the other side of Jordan over here. It was Manasseh and Ephraim, I think, and I can't remember who else, Dan, I forgot who it was. But anyway, they were over there on the other side of Jordan, and they said, you know, we're happy over here. This is a great place for cattle, and we've got cattle. Y'all go in and take the promised land. We're just going to stay here and take care of our cattle. And in the vernacular of the day of our day, Moses read them the riot act. He said, what's the matter with you? You are going to let your brethren go and fight the fight, and you're going to stay here? Do you realize that's going to discourage them, that you're not willing to fight with them? You're part of this group. And the interesting thing that the preacher pointed out that night was this. It was only 20% of the nation. 80% of them were willing to go ahead and go fight. Moses said, you 20% are going to discourage this other 80% to the point to where they won't fight. You know what Moses did? He restored them. And what he did was, he told them, it's not too late to do what's right. Don't make this mistake. It's going to offend your brethren. You need to go with us. And you know what? They did. Amen? I look around and I see folks and I think, I'm trying and trying and trying and trying and trying to get them to be faithful. Maybe if some of us were to be doing that same thing and encourage people to come out, encourage people to be where they need to be and to serve God and to love God, that would encourage all of us, amen? A little restoration goes a long way. Let's reach out and restore some folks. It's all of us that have that responsibility. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a hymn.